Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. If you've been waiting all season for Championship Week, you're weird. You thought I was going to say, well, we're here. No, I'm going to say you're weird.
Well, too bad, because this ain't it.
What if you need scholarship money and Dr. Pepper is the only way you can access education in our current dystopia?
The saddest and yet most gripping tradition in college sports, the Dr. Pepper tuition challenge. What are you going to do with that money? I'm probably going to graduate mostly debt-free.
And y'all who refuse to lower yourself to do chess passes are going to starve in the new world.
We can get worse, though. Like, we can get, like, the Dr. Pepper field goal kickoff for food portions.
I think Dr. Pepper's on an upswing this year. Like, there's almost nothing that they've done that I found totally repellent.
You just say that because Larry Culpepper's gone.
Larry Culpepper was murdered and fed to dogs.
Fantastic.
No food portions for you, Larry Culpepper.
I wish they could do it again.
Have you heard the good news?
That's going to be the reveal of the Fansville story arc.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they killed Larry.
We have to eat Larry.
No one talks about it.
Larry's not dead. There's a little piece of him in each of us.
For now.
Mine is right on the inside of my left elbow.
She meant it literally!
Two things I want to point out about Fansville. One, the actress who says that's his Dr. Pepper hand in the Dr. Eddie George commercial absolutely sells it. It's a beautiful line reading and she should be famous. If you know her and or she has a SoundCloud, please let us know. We will promote it. The second thing is I need to know a lot more about the magazine kid's mom's inner life.
There's lots of different soft drinks. Honey. Like, oh.
She has tried some butt stuff and he is not there for it.
and by butt stuff, we mean...
No, she tried to put a finger in his ass.
No, by that you mean...
Fresca.
Dr. Pepper butt stuff now available at Costco.
Like Dr. Pepper itself, it's not for women.
See, I was gonna say there's a for men joke here, but they already made that once.
This sounds
Dr.
like
Pepper
one
is
of
the for
many
men.
Dr.
Pepper is
knockoffs.
For men in a can.
Is like the Ingles Dr. Pepper called Dr. Butt?
Yeah, Dr. Thunder.
I mean, there is a Dr. Perky.
Ooh.
I mean,
who's Dr. Soda is Dr. Perky?
I don't know, but Dr. Thunder used to be Publix. That was my Dr. Thunder.
I am looking at a photo. This is a year old, but I'm seeing Dr. Spice, Dr. Becker, which is great. Dr. Perky, Dr. Snap, Dr. Shaw's, Dr. A+, Dr. Stripes, which sounds...
Dr. Stripes sounds like a vet.
I think this says Dr. Tremor, which is horrifying. Dr. Light, Dr. Thunder.
Dr. Shudder is in there.
Dr. Bold, Dr. Perfect, Dr. Bob.
I was going to say, is there a convulsion soda, but that's just Mountain Dew Blaha Blast.
Wait, mm-hmm. I found my favorite, Dr. Dynamite.
Hell yeah. Where's that?
Kroger also now sells a Dr. Pepper flavored seltzer, which, man, it took me a second to get that out, which advertises itself as having a hint of Dr. flavor.
Dr. Dynamite is from Safeway.
Hmm.
So doctor flavor, that's like a doctor stuck his finger in it or something?
I guess.
Yeah. Going all the way back to our original point.
The Dr. Pepper mom has led a rich life.
Yeah, she's got some stuff going on.
And her
on.
Husband doesn't appreciate it.
No, it threatens him. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Some
he's
of her,
Dr.
yeah.
Cook is what he
doctor.
Is.
he's more like, I don't know, paralegal thunder.
Dr. Pet her.
Did you guys know Piggly Wiggly has a like a knockoff of their own, but it's really off of Mr. Pibb, and it's
is it called Mr. Pig.
It is.
Yes.
I'm gonna next time I go up to North Carolina and go past the closest Piggly Wiggly to me that I know. I know Atlanta. There's probably a closer one, but this one's off 441. Okay, it's my Piggly Wiggly. It's the one where I know where
my pigs and my wigs are.
where my hog jowl is, okay? Not guanciale, hog jowl. So
the fuck accent were you going for there?
I was just coming down off it. Mm. But the I'll just get a big flat full of Mr. Pig next time to share with the world. My suggestion was going to be Mr. Bip, but you know, with two B's, just a full backwards Mr. Bip.
What is the backwards grocery store? Is that Albertsons?
Albertsons.
Yeah.
Yeah. They serve Dr. Embolism. Dr. Embolism.
Maybe that's Dr. Shudder.
Dr. Shudder. The other expression I enjoy in the Fansville commercials is Eddie George's when he's watching the man struggle to flip burgers with his non-burger flipping hand. Right? Because Eddie George just gives this look like, yeah, buddy, you're crippled for life. Too bad.
That's Shakespearean actor Eddie George to you. That's Eddie correct. George who I believe appeared in, I don't know if it was the Broadway rendition, but it was a rendition of Chicago.
No, he's been in a couple different shows in Nashville, hadn't he?
He did the Nutcracker?
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, but there's not any speaking roles there.
That's another man with a beautiful head.
Who, Eddie George?
Yeah.
Gorgeous skull. Good Look head. At that thing, man.
And shiny, right?
Mm-hmm. Stunning. Beautiful. I don't know.
There's kind of like a matte finish to it.
Yeah. I went matte skull for this year.
I want somebody with a bass boat head.
I went shiny bass boat like finish little, on like the head.
Sparkles, but subtle.
Stanley Tucci.
Oh.
Probably.
I'll be in my bunk.
That bastard Tucci.
He's How great. What do you have against Stanley
I
Tucci?
I beg your pardon.
Oh, he's so perfect, Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, he is.
Never
What's
done,
your goddamn problem?
He's never done anything wrong, Stanley
I'll
Tucci.
Kill you. Brian, back me up.
She will kill you, and I will help her. Stanley Tucci is wonderful. What's
Stanley
wrong
Tucci
with you?
Is a god.
Please note, if Stanley Tucci did some real fucked up shit, we didn't know about it, and we're not covering for him.
No, we didn't know about it. That's not what we're talking about. Stanley Tucci is a god.
You know, he wasn't actually married to Julia Child. That wasn't.
I don't recognize that movie as canon.
Mm-hmm.
That movie didn't exist. It took a lot of us to a bad place.
So, it is championship week. And I was going to say that if you've waited...
Yeah, speaking of champions, Stanley Tucci.
If you've waited the entire... Champions have Oscars. If you've waited... Yeah. Oh, if he's so good, why doesn't he have an award? Why didn't he have a title? How come he ain't won a championship? Where's the hardware?
I'm just going to start tweeting out right now. You're not going to make it out of this podcast alive.
Oh, no. Stanley Tucci is like the, you know, Mike Leach, Texas Tech of, you know, oh, beloved. Oh, yeah. He put up numbers.
Yeah. You absolutely hated Mike Leach at Texas Tech.
No
you
rings.
Fucking hypocrite.
No rings.
So who is the Bama of the acting world? It's Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sort of walk there easily. Huh.
That's right. We're even like, even in Mamma Mia, she's delightful. Gah!
Anyway.
Championship week, if you've waited.
This isn't over.
I know. If you've waited the entire season to get here, you're kind of weird. Like, you're kind of weird.
Georgia, you're Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah. was late Mark Rick years? Is that the Snow Dogs?
Hey man,
chapter
pays the bills. Sorry, taking us way off, topic here.
Oh god, yeah, no, this is it's weird because I don't know. These games are they're never exactly you know. I think after rivalry week, everyone's sort of emotionally divorced from things, except for Pitt, of course. Pitt, fully engaged, fully charged, and ready to terrify Clemson. But everyone
locked,
else...
Locked on. Tractor beam locked on.
I think this is a good weekend. It's not, I mean, it's not rivalry week. Sure, nothing is, but...
No.
I mean, I think usually this is a good weekend, to put it more clearly. 2018's edition, well... Not the greatest example we've had of championship weekend, but
I think if you take a broader view, it actually has a lot of intrigue to it. Like Yeah, we were all sort of disappointed with the Apple Cup, and that means as a result we're not paying that much attention to the Pac-12 championship game on Friday. Also, we're not paying attention because it's on Friday at 8 o'clock in an NFL stadium that is notoriously impossible to get into. So, like 45 people will be there at the start of the game. But Utah could win a conference, Pac-12 championship. Rather, that's a big deal. That's not a thing we should just sort of ignore.
No, and that's a good matchup. Like, it is my favorite matchup of any of these because I've already seen Texas, Oklahoma. I've seen Alabama, Georgia pretty recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of these
you saw UAB at MTSU a week ago. Exactly.
Yes, we all watched that. I definitely did the reading. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think my point is that, like, I mean, the Big Ten, that has sort of typically that has got to carry about half the day, and Northwestern's in that. So,
but again, Northwestern hasn't won a Big Ten championship since
they don't deserve one. Fuck them.
No,
I don't want them to have one.
But isn't it better if they hold on? You're telling me you don't want to live in an off season where you get to tell Michigan fans, well, Northwestern's the reigning Big Ten champion, so.
No, because I don't want the Rose Bowl to be sullied by Northwestern.
You don't want to go to Nebraska fans and be like, gosh, you know, a lot of room to make up between you and Big Ten champion Northwestern.
if it was any other school, fuck Northwestern.
With this, by the way, what is your case for fuck Northwestern? Not that I need that. You can just, I mean, I accept it. Okay. But, you know, as a Medill grad, I would really like to hear the case against my beloved alma mater.
They have got to be the most boring football team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few arguments to the contrary, right?
Yeah.
They have about 37 fans, which makes them bad for our business if they win. I'll just say that out loud.
Shout out Roger Sherman.
They have Roger Sherman. We like Roger, to be clear. The other 36...
We like some of them. Some of them listen to this program.
Yeah, those are fine. if you're within the sound of my voice, then you are actually the good Northwestern fan, and I hope your team wins.
That's right.
But
this is how we go back to an advertiser and say, yeah, we reach half of all Northwestern fans. We did the math.
They'd be like, well, we definitely need to place advertisements for aerosolized underwear. That's definitely what we need to do.
I mean, I guess when you put it that way, like, this means Ohio State loses, then okay, fine. Put Northwestern in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's the
argument. I'll accept that. Fine,
just here, do this in your brain. Just convince your, you know, like how I just lied for a whole year and said Auburn was an ACC team. Northwestern is a MAC team, and nobody can explain why they're in the Big Ten championship, but they are. And you'll feel a lot better.
Okay, but so
I think it's great that they let those plucky upstarts.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, then you get to say, boy, Pat Fitzgerald with more conference titles than Jim Harbaugh. Huh.
Stanley Tucci also has the Screen Actors Guild Award.
Oh,
that's like a Maxwell Trophy?
And three Emmys.
That's like a Coach of the Year Award.
Three
like
Emmys.
FCS Championships.
Three Emmys, bitch!
FCS Championships.
Why did you do this? God.
Now I'm in the horrible position.
That's like the Bobby Dodd Sportsmanship Award.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do you want Stanley Tucci to be more like Daniel Day-Lewis, I guess is my big question.
Remember, Daniel Day-Lewis, inferior actor to Stan Lee. Stanley, more credits. Sorry, he worked harder. He's in more movies.
And you want Stanley Tucci to be more like that guy?
More like Stan Lee?
No, more like Stanley, more like Daniel Day-Lewis.
It's true. Stanley Tucci would never quit his, you know, like take time off to become a cobbler.
Yeah. So what's your fucking problem, Spencer?
I'd like to become a cobbler.
Now I'm thinking of the hybrid of the two of them, Stan Lee Tucci.
A man with no respect for Big Night, and I allowed you into my home.
Speaking of Big Night, Memphis at number 8, UCF.
You're welcome. Alley-oop.
Woo. Gosh, UCF, you're just
piece of shit.
You got no chance of making the playoff. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Absolutely none. And maybe not of even of winning this game.
Oh, that's, God.
This is a massive bummer for them. But, you know, Memphis is a damn handful. It's an insanely good rushing attack right now.
And
you know,
they're a handful.
They're a ham. If any team would be a handful, and you could say, you know what team is a handful? Memphis. Yeah. By God, King. An absolute handful of a team. Yeah.
What's a handful? It's a dead pig stuffed full of stolen guns.
Just an entire rack of ribs coming at you.
Off the top rope. That's how we serve them here. Honestly, if there was a Memphis restaurant where you ate ribs inside a wrestling ring and they were delivered with a powerful off the top rope slam to your head, I would go there every single week.
That's the mayor's house.
That is, take this.
That's how they thank you, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes for a table unless you're willing to sit at the Spanish announcers. No. No thanks.
Okay, que lastima. Is that the best? Is that like the best running joke ever?
Yeah,
it's got
to
be
there.
The best running joke ever.
God, like this is not a sustainable restaurant, but I would like to try it as a pop up, like a week of wrestle. what's the name of this restaurant? Summer Ham.
Summer. It's got to be Summer Ham.
Wow.
Summer Slam. Right. It's got to be that, right? Or the torture rack.
Mm-hmm.
The torture rack would be my suggestion.
Dry Rumble.
Yeah, dry. Yeah, that's, or if they only specialize.
So as you can see from this, UCF is doomed.
Yeah, because we've decided. I mean, but Mackenzie Milton, by the way, that knee injury, that is not a lightweight knee injury. At all, because you know, it's normally it's like, oh well, he had this done, and then this happened. Dude, they haven't, like, they were like, he's in the hospital, and oh, they repaired nerve damage and restored blood flow. That's yeah, that's ominous. When you know, normally it's like, oh well, they tore this particular L, right? This ACL, this PCL. No, we haven't even heard that yet. So, God, thoughts, good wishes to him, because that's real bad. And again, real bad for UCF's chances of, you know, at least having a claim to the playoff, because beat Memphis is going to be the handful that I said it was.
Yeah, that's about as crushing an injury as I can remember in a really long time. But as far as their team goes, they have played well with other quarterbacks this year. Not much of a sample, probably like 8 total quarters or something like that. But I mean, they can beat Memphis. Memphis isn't great or anything. It'll probably be a stupid shootout, as it has been, I think, at least twice in a row that these teams have played each other. UCF can win. I think a lot of people are writing them off, but they're still really good. And Memphis isn't awesome or anything. If they do,
let's all understand that. If all the favorites win, UCF will be like left in some stupidly tantalizingly close. But they'll be like, oh, number 6. Oh, gosh. Boy, you sure did try hard. Well, see you next year. Start all over, unranked.
Yeah, they're coming in at 8th. So maybe you get up to 7th.
Yay!
I enjoyed this idea that if UCF goes undefeated every single year, they're going to be eligible for a national title in 6 years. Right?
Maybe. Like, if things break their way.
Right.
Well, last year they were 12th, so this would be a jump to 7th. Do it again, and now you're in the top 4. You only have to go undefeated 3 straight years.
That's all.
No big deal. Who does UCF play next year? This is worth looking up today, I assure you.
Probably 2 ACC teams that'll cancel due to hurricanes, because that's been the trend.
That is generally how it works. Well, one of the first results is UCF adds Florida A&M to 29 football schedules, so that's not... okay, there is some interest here. They have their usual... AAC slot, slate, which includes UConn, unfortunately, but these things can't be helped. They have A&M at home. They go to FAU, and then they play Pitt on the road, and they convince Stanford to come to Orlando.
How?
Very good.
Yeah.
How?
Hey, you know, if Pitt were to beat Clemson, which as we know that's going to be the case, let's compare results against Pitt, Clemson, and UCF. How about that?
That seems fair.
I thought of something, by the way. Mac Brown was hired by North Carolina as football coach this week.
That did happen.
Mm-hmm. That happened.
No, and before I hear your tone, and before we start disparaging this hire, can we just take a minute to thank Bubba Cunningham for taking Mac Brown off of most of our televisions? He'll be easily avoidable next year.
You're saying he won't? He won't do this? Wait, you think he won't still call like Friday games where he can?
Oh, fuck. God damn it! No, don't plant that specter. Don't put that evil on me.
You don't think he won't call his own games?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this coach just needs a lot of patience just looking at him. He's trying so dang hard out there. Also, it's me. Hi, folks. Mac Brown down here on the sideline just saying I'm putting in a heck of an effort with this ball team.
As with all things involving college football, I was wrong to hope.
Doing the first autoerotic sideline interview.
No.
Gennaro, no.
No.
Well, folks, it looks like we're headed to overtime here because I chose to kick a field goal, so I gotta go catch a flight. Goodbye. Gene Chizik is gonna see this thing through.
Gene Chizik asleep on a boat miles away.
Happy and fulfilled.
The question I thought...
Dreaming of a wrestling barbecue restaurant.
I thought, you know, how bad... it would look next year because it's going to look pretty bad for North Carolina regardless. I just don't think it's going to be real great with Mac Brown. It could be way worse. And I thought, well, where's the real clanker in here? So I looked at the 2019 schedule. Guess who they play in the fifth game of the season?
Georgia.
The Clemson Tigers.
Oh, that's worse.
That's worse. It is worse, listener. It's much worse. Yeah, that's the one where you go, oh, welcome back, respected member of the College Football Hall of Fame, Mac Brown. Here, how would you call this on TV? Drops 35 points on you in a quarter. Well, Mac just needs a little more time just to turn this around.
You can see how UNC brought the best out of Clemson today. That's what we try to do. Bring the best out of everyone around us, including the opponent.
It's just so sad what this coach inherited from his predecessor. The cupboard was clearly bare. This program has sent so few players to the NFL in previous years. Of course, that standard does not apply at the University of Texas, where the current coach is to blame for whatever the problems are at this time. I gotta go.
It is even sadder when you think of the once proud legacy earlier coaches at this fine institution, the University of North Carolina, left behind. Such as Mac Brown.
Wait, won't his accent flip back now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got to flip back to like Tennessean, right? Because he's actually from Tennessee, so it's got to flip back to sort of mountainy.
He's going to flip back from fake brisket to pork.
Yeah. Did I ever say I even enjoyed the cow as an animal, species, or dish? That was a lie. I didn't say that. Mac Brown didn't do that. Yeah, that was just a little aside thinking today, going, oh, when's it going to get real, real? Oh, yeah. Game 5. Clemson, a fully operational Clemson death machine.
Listen, I know you're thinking, listener, gosh, this the only college football podcast just on top of shit here in late November, giving me the important information I need to know, UNC and UCF schedules for 2019.
We're ahead of shit, brother.
That's right.
We will not be caught slipping on those facts. So since we're talking Mac Brown, I guess we could go to the next entry on the spreadsheet. We're kind of jumping around here.
Yeah,
but
we're
that's
all over
fine.
The place. Yeah,
just like
it's,
Mac Brown.
It's Red River rematch. First time it's happened in like 100 years or something.
Yeah, since 1903. It's the first time they've played twice in a calendar year.
That's a lot.
It's been a bit. It's also been a bit since Texas won a Big 12 title. They last did that in 2009. I also forgot that it took Mac Brown 8 years.
Who was the head coach of that football team?
That would be Mac Brown, who won not one, but two Big 12 championships. More than that would have been unsightly.
I was going to ask, who's Mac Brown going to put on his iPod this time?
Because last time,
to stay cool, it was, you know, hey, Vince got me to put Beyonce on my iPad.
Oh, he's going to take a side in the Cardi versus Nicki feud, mm-hmm. and he's going to come down real hard, and it's like whichever side he picks, and it's going to be awkward.
Oh, no, North Carolina's a basketball school. It's going to be Drake.
Oh, so Taylor Swift.
I got some Taylor Swift on.
Yeah, that's too political.
That's definitely. I got some of that Sheck Wes. He'll read it as like one word. I got that Mobamba song from Sheck Wes.
I actually would really like if Mac Brown, as coach of UNC, could not help but like during ACC media days, during regular interviews, whatever, just like kept bringing up Carly Rae Jepsen just constantly. Oh, you know, emotions are a powerful thing, and it's a powerful album. It's hard to control emotions during a big season like this one. And again, I recommend y'all download that. Don't use the LimeWire; that's illegal.
Did you happen to see Kyler Murray being asked about Sam Ehlinger?
Yes.
Today,
this is turning into the Red River respect recognition rumble. Ruckus.
Yeah, this is now a matter of where we're playing respect Keno, right? Are we seeing all the numbers line up so that we're all properly respected?
Isn't it more because, like respect spades, where it's like I bid 8 books of respect. I'll go blind nil.
Whatever particular card game it is, Kyler Murray played a hand when asking about how much he respects Sam Ehlinger's game.
He folded is what he did.
Yeah, no, he refused.
He said, I'm out. Too rich for me. I'm out.
Yeah, because he was asked that and then said he was not going to say anything about him. And then Sam Ehlinger on Twitter responded with the phrase that pays for the past 2 weeks for Texas, which is, okay, cool, hook 'em, with the emoji. You know, so.
And this all stemmed from the post game in the Red River round one, which was Ehlinger apparently approached Murray for a handshake or dap or something, and apparently did it a little too eagerly, as I gather.
A little like too firmly?
A little bit aggressive, I guess.
No, what's your deal, man? What is it with this year and snafus at the like handshake? That's the simplest thing.
We just can't finish.
This team needs to learn. This is why we have so many 3-loss teams, damn it. Teams can't even do a handshake properly. This is a game, by the way, I have no idea. Like, I have no read on this game at all. Like, I don't see why it couldn't be another like 50-48 kind of game. And I also don't see too many reasons why this couldn't be some sort of like disappointing 20-17 thing.
That's going to be the latter.
Here's the only thing I'm convinced of. If Texas wins, somebody else ahead of things will fall into place such that Oklahoma Wolves be like, you had a playoff spot and you fucked it up. Sorry. If Oklahoma wins, it won't work that way. If Oklahoma wins, George is going to beat Bama and therefore keep them out entirely. Yeah.
That's what we want for maximum chaos, correct?
For maximum chaos, I mean, honestly, we want Pitt beating Clemson. That is the thing that, aside from our long-running joke, I think actually causes the most chaos and distress.
Jason, you've been doing bowl projections. What's the most out there shit that's still possible?
So the Georgia beating Bama one, like, in the sense of introducing the most uncertainty and angst and all that, that is the one. Because,
but that won't even keep Bama out necessarily, will it?
Right. I think the thing about that is then, say, it becomes then a three-team tangle for the four spot between Bama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Which, I mean, those might be the three biggest fan bases in the country. So it might be. I said, calm down. Mm. So like, now we're talking about a huge percentage of America screaming at each other.
That's new.
Can you imagine that? But I mean, yeah, Pitt beating Clemson, I think that would be next, just because Clemson, I don't think they get the same lose and make it. I think with them, it would be a real debate, you know, if it's like Clemson versus Ohio State, mm-hmm. that like, there is an argument for Ohio State there.
If it's Clemson versus Oklahoma, who do you think realistically gets that?
Clemson with a loss versus Oklahoma?
One loss Clemson versus an Oklahoma that has just beaten Texas.
So I would guess it's Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The schedules are, we could look at what.
Well, especially if it's, I'm not saying this is how it should be, but if Oklahoma lost to Texas, turns around and beats Texas, and Clemson loses to Pitt, that kind of feels like a foregone conclusion.
There will be a momentum thing. It'll also just be like, this was, it's not Clemson's fault. This is a bad year for a lot of the ACC. Florida State missed a bowl game, a thing we have not talked enough about. I'm sorry.
Bill's strength of schedule rankings, he already has Oklahoma above Clemson, and that gap will widen this weekend. Because Texas is better than Pitt. Sorry.
You have no proof of that. You have no proof of that.
About our Panthers.
Yeah.
Plus, you add in a conference title. I think it would be Oklahoma over Clemson.
Yeah. By the way, that's, what was Texas's record again?
9-3. What was that, Ryan?
9-3.
That's right, 9-3. Yeah.
How many chicken bets has Spencer won this season? 3.
Bang! Two of them based around Texas.
Yeah, no, I kept doubling down, you know? Because you know who doesn't like you, Ryan? Big Cal.
No, Big Cal doesn't like me, okay? And I didn't get the UNC job, and nothing's going great, all right?
I hope every time you saw that picture of that big-ass cow in Australia, you heard it. You sat there just seeing it, hearing the cow saying, 0-3, bitch. Oh, I'm sorry, 0-3, bitch. Terrible Australian accent.
I'm 0-2. You lost one to Jason.
I'm gonna throw. You know what? I'm gonna put 0-3 on you. You know why? You got a big cow. Take an additional L.
You doubted Stanley Tucci, bitch.
Yeah, I doubted Stanley Tucci.
Also, hey, Spencer, you had a parlay that Ryan didn't know about. 0-4.
Yeah,
God,
there we go.
Damn it.
Let's see. We'll count that up. Let's see. We'll count up. Let's see. All Stanley Tucci's Oscars. That's right. It's a big old nada. It's like Oregon national titles.
Didn't realize
Zero.
You care so much about the organization that thought Forrest Gump was best picture, Spencer.
You know what?
That speaks. That's surprising.
That's why I call him Stanley Virginia Techie.
That trophy case is empty. I don't know why I'm being.
Spencer loved Crash. That's all I'm hearing.
It's a great movie. Ludacris is in it. How could it be bad?
Oh my Christ! Why are you?
That's
like
the
this?
Best argument for Crash I've ever heard.
That's the only argument for
the
Crash.
Only valid argument for Crash.
Like con is Crash. Pro has Ludacris.
I mean, look at Luda's other films. The man only makes hits. Therefore, Crash is a hit.
Exactly. Yeah.
What if Luda had been in the other Crash movie?
It's about like fucking cars, right? That's very close to the standard Ludacris song concept.
Yeah, there's cars in it.
Yeah, there are. if he could rap about wanting to do it next to a car crash. If he did What's Your Fantasy? Oh yeah.
Oh my god, it's that's like, a lost verse.
What's your worst fantasy?
Yeah, which
Ludacris was in Fred Claus, just for the record.
That must be a hit.
I don't think that's true.
Spencer loves it. His brain has been turned to oatmeal by 8 years of Octopets.
I want you to imagine all of the money that all of Daniel Day-Lewis's movies have made.
Sure.
And then
it's I not want that you, much.
And
actually.
Then I want you to think about all
except
the money
of New York.
That but movies is, that but Ludacris
no,
has been
no,
in,
no,
have made.
No, no, then you're
no
mis-
one is no. arguing. No, no one is arguing the utility of Daniel Day-Lewis versus Ludacris. Quit moving the goalposts.
I would just like to point that out, that Daniel Day-Lewis, in addition to being a gigantic shoe hammering loser. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
And if you're a cobbler listening to this, go ahead, fight me. I repair shoes.
Eat shit, shoemakers, says
what is,
Spencer
what
Hall.
Is wrong?
That's right.
Is this because it got cold in Georgia that you're just like so
yes,
fucking
yes,
watery?
No, he's
Man,
mad
it's like 40 degrees
cold.
Outside. You don't even know what we're dealing with.
He's
That's it. I gotta take this
cold.
Out on Stanley Tucci.
Spencer, an actual cat, is angry that it is cold outside.
There's no one in the world who doesn't like Stanley Tucci. I'm trying this on, okay?
It's a great look. You should keep it up. Like all of your other bright ideas.
You know what's going to happen. Stanley Tucci's going to hear this, and he's going to email me and say how disappointed he is, and it's going to affect me personally.
It's
great.
Yeah, it's great.
I swear to God, if you get us in a war with Stanley Tucci, I will take his side in a heartbeat. I will abandon
oh, absolutely.
You.
Yeah. No. We're turning.
I'll feel so bad.
And you know who else will be on our side? Ludacris. Ludacris loves Stanley Tucci. He would never take your side in this stupid debate.
And it, piece of shit.
So anyway, I think that Oklahoma gets in based on strength of schedule. Right.
All right. That's
the,
what
the committee man said tonight that they like their schedule better than Ohio State's already. So Ohio State better put some numbers up on Northwestern. And you know what's hard to do in a Northwestern game? Numbers.
And didn't they drop Northwestern down the rankings?
They did,
even though
yeah.
Is math a liberal art?
Northwestern fell 2 points because they only beat Illinois by 8.
That is a good reason to fall 2 spots.
Hey, they got Lovie Smith in extension. I think you need to move them up. They're out here influencing.
Job creators.
That's, you know, Pat Fitzgerald's definitely like, yeah, I created a job.
That's the first time Northwestern got somebody working a long time.
Damn.
Ooh, damn.
You know, if they had a union, they could.
Welp.
Should we talk about the SEC championship? Is there a reason to?
No.
Bored
now.
It seems the key to the game, the AutoZone key to the game, brought to you by Dell Computers.
AutoZone, Kia Computer,
is your computer
Kia Computer.
Making this noise, vroom. That's a fucking problem.
AutoZone Computers, brought to you by Haverty's.
Welcome to Dog Talk with Click and Clack.
The game brought to you by Rap Snacks.
This is so much better than any NPR segment I've ever listened to.
So Bill did a post based on his numbers and whatnot that Georgia's red zone offense is fucking horrible, which not that you needed numbers to tell you that, but yeah, it's confirmed. The closer they get to the goal line, the more they turn from being basically Bama to basically Rutgers. Like within, I think it was within the three, they are 129th in offensive efficiency. This is totally a shocker. You know, Georgia usually known for excellent red zone play. Particularly against Bama, particularly in the SEC championship, as are most football teams in the state of Georgia, if we're being quite honest, just known for being incredible once they get close to the goal line. But yeah, Georgia better score from like 21 yards out, basically, or otherwise
baby
they will be kicking field goals and they will lose.
Baby Sark, do 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 do, baby Sark, do 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 do, baby Sark, do
baby Sark.
Sorry.
That is a good name for Jim Chaney now. He's Baby Sark.
Baby Sark. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's Baby
another,
Sark.
Another guy who in the Georgia Dome is going to have a little bit of a problem punching it in from the 5 in.
Listen, Ludacris' sex dream in the Georgia Dome was to just kick a 3, all right?
Jim Chaney, like, is the worst. He from like the 10 to the 5 end, like when he gets in the red zone, he turns into the worst like Windows edition ever, right? Just endless pop-ups of, well, I think I was going to run the ball. Bling! Time to update virus.
In Bill's post, there is a, I think it was a like 6-play sequence against Florida on like the 2, because there's a penalty or whatever, where every single play is the same fucking formation. And like, you're like, no, that's got to be the same play. But then you look at like, oh no, the down has changed. The clock has changed. It's the same fucking formation, the same bunch, Burley, like, get in there, boys. And they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, oh, would you like to download an update for this wide receiver end around that won't work? You know what? It's time. It's time to defragment your tight end screen when all you want to do is punch it in and run the ball. It's not like you don't have two running backs who are each basically like sacks of angry bowling balls. No. Don't run them. Idiot.
Wow.
I said Jim Chaney from the 5 in. He's smart and nice from the rest. And then, he's got an issue in certain contexts. He's not the guy you want there.
So Bama's winning?
Bama manages to bypass this problem altogether by scoring from the 40.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. What are Bama's red zone woes? Well, they usually just blow right past it.
They haven't been at it all year.
You know how Bill Walsh would say, you know, you really want to start throwing to the end zone from like the 30 to the 25 because you've got room to operate, right? Bama just backed that up about 10 yards. You really want to start going for the end zone like around the 50.
And now Bama's just going to bring in Cliff Kingsbury to make Kirby feel bad about himself. Just be like, oh man, that, how long you had that shirt? Those pants still fit, huh? It's like, God. Cliff.
I think Nick Saban's
good. Hey, cool hat.
I don't think Kingsbury would go.
To Bama?
You know why?
What?
No, I don't think he would. You know why? Nick will tell him to stop scoring.
But
that
isn't, I
don't think it'll work this year.
Yeah.
No, I think he'd go to USC. Because USC, they'd be like, that's fine. Here. Also, if I said, a gentleman has spent significant time in Lubbock. Your choices now are Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or Los Angeles.
Well, you don't have to live in Tuscaloosa. You just gotta, you know, come in.
What are you gonna commute? You gonna commute in from where?
Houston.
Yeah, from Starkville. Yeah, I don't know. I just like it better over there. Although Dana Holgorsen, coach at West Virginia, did have the most amazing commute in college football, which was this. When he was offensive coordinator at Stillwater at Oklahoma State University, Dana Holgorsen lived in Tulsa. That's because, you know, he needed a little city life in Tulsa. Because Stillwater just wasn't quite enough of a town, man. Needed a little energy. So he commuted, and he lived in Tulsa.
What's that, like an hour or so outside of Stillwater?
I think it's further. Keep in mind, he's working coaching hours, too, so I imagine it's like, well, I'm done at 10:30. I drive back, and it's midnight, and I got to wake up at 6. Yeah, that's enough sleep. That's fine. It's good. Stay out till 3, you know, just relaxing, having a drink and getting a hamburger. 2 hours sleep. That seems reasonable. That's how you know, Dan. That's how you know he was living like by himself, right?
I think it's more the house, the whatever it was, house apartment in Tulsa. That's like the safe house. Like he's gonna be there like once every 3 weeks. It's not every night, you know.
It's like, I ran out of pants.
The food at this Burger King's not great, but the corking fee is reasonable, so.
That would be amazing if there was a Burger King that was, one, notable enough to move, two, it lived next to, and two, if you had a corking fee. Because if you remember Miami Subs, you could get champagne at Miami Subs. That was a real thing. They sold Dom Perignon at Miami Subs, which is how you know Florida is the stupidest state in the union.
Taco Bell's opening, like, cantina locations soon that are going to serve booze.
Why limit this? By the times in your life when you've hit at Taco Bell, if somebody said, would you like 24 beers right now? Who's saying no? You're already at Taco Bell.
What is
no,
the best,
no. I was planning on getting things done and having a productive day. No, you weren't.
What's the best fast food place we could put bars in?
Arby's.
Barbies.
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 Actually,
or the R bar.
Actually, holy crap! I can't think of anything more degenerate.
What a burger!
What? Oh god! It, what if you could get a Shiner? That's
shit.
Just...
Sonic is already a bar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Chick-fil-A.
The bar at Chick-fil-A would be like Mick Ultra. Right?
You get one.
Yeah, you just get one.
And a dirty look.
But like. At Whataburger, like, if you already told me, that makes too much sense. If you already told me, oh, you know, you could just get, like, a 64-ounce Shiner to go, I'd be like, well, that's just American. That's fine.
If Arby's had a bar, they just, like, they wouldn't tell you, and they wouldn't force you to order thing. They'd just be like, here's your Big Montana and an airplane bottle of gin. You'd be like, what? I didn't...
Yeah, you said the secret password. I did.
Yeah, you're at Arby's. You're inside an Arby's. That's the secret password for gin, please.
I knew it.
Yeah, I think like the place that would be the place that is probably already serving alcohol, and we just don't realize it. That has fallen so far off the map culturally and in terms of status. Not that they were that lofty to begin with, but perennial number two Burger King. If you told me that Burger King was already just selling malt liquor, I would believe you. And be honest, that's...
Burgers and James.
Just, if they were like, yeah, here, I'll give you a 1.5 of Glenmore gin with the plastic grip handle on the back for $7 in addition to this...
Now
blank.
You're just making a biopic of your dad.
Oh, goddamn.
Hey, guys, the fountain machine has Boone's Farm. Is that normal?
Yeah, it's right there with the Seagrams. Not that Seagrams.
Come on. Put on that creepy Burger King head, the plastic head, and walk out of there with, like, a giant thing of Alizé. Yeah.
And a novelty bendy straw just going in through the eye hole.
One of those 3-gallon jugs of wine. Yeah. They would totally do that. By the way, Panera is where you get the big sack of wine, right? Mm. I'll take a cookie, a bowl of soup.
But Panera, that shit would be like $95.
And you get it served in a sassy glass that has like puff paint on it that says like,
no,
you know.
Panera is where we install the drive-through daiquiri bars in the rest of the states, though. They got the infrastructure. And they're open real early in the morning.
What's the alcohol that makes what's the alcohol that makes you sickest?
Oh, tequila.
Okay, so that's what Chipotle is going to have.
Yeah.
They already do.
What?
Yeah.
So firing out both ends. Okay, great.
Yeah. That's already canon.
Hey, buddy, you're a dragon.
Literally.
That's true. A dragon does shoot stuff out of one end of its body. Why not both?
Apparently we are to discuss Marshall, Virginia Tech.
I mean...
No, thank you.
It's for bowl eligibility for Virginia Tech.
It's true.
I am a little confused why Doc Holliday never gets any mention for any coaching job whatsoever, which I'm told is just because he's perfectly happy at Marshall. It would be pretty funny if Marshall won this game and knocked Virginia Tech out of a bowl. I don't know. It's something, right?
Yeah. No, you did a good job. You picked a good game.
Did I? I don't think I did. I think I did a bad job.
No, you did a good job. Also, Doc Holliday is very old.
He's not that old. He's only like 61. Mac Brown just got a job.
No. See, with him, it's he is. What's the? You can really sense the oldness, you know. And I don't mean he like walks around slow or he's using a cane or anything like that. It's probably just because his name is Doc. That probably is what. If he rebranded and just went by Mac Kent. Holiday,
Kent,
Herm Kent Holiday.
Holiday, Herb.
But I think being named after like an old timey gunslinger or whatever.
A sickly, sickly goldslinger. That's the real problem with it. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. So when you hear that name, you think like tuberculosis or whatever. Right. And nobody wants that on your campus.
Can we discuss Fresno and Boise?
It's on the list.
Yeah. I mean, it's a jump, but it's a jam. It's a fun game. I'm all for this.
So
this is a fine dessert aperitif.
Well, if only like so every
that's not,
fucking
that's
year,
not what it, an aperitif is, but whatever.
I know that's before, isn't it?
It's an aperitif for whatever the NBA is doing.
It is. That's right. Gonna watch the Grizz.
This is why Spencer, you'll never get a liquor license at your Burger King because you don't fucking know what an aperitif is.
That's why you don't have a liquor license for this Mississippi Burger King, Spencer. Because
standards are very high at Burger King.
God damn it, if you don't know what a pastis is.
So it turns out it's the King of France. That's why.
Yeah. God. I knew it. That's why I'm going to put on this Burger King head.
I have been deposed. You will help me regain my rightful throne.
The actual King of France. Yeah. He's been on the run for, what, 150 years now?
Yeah. You will never believe what happened.
Sacre blue cheese bites.
Oh, God.
So this damn Mountain West game, every single year, and I know we've talked about this on this program before, but that's fine because it bears repeating. Mountain West, please reschedule this game. Just kick it off at 10 Eastern. People will watch it. You're going straight up against, buddy, you're going up against Ohio State and Pitt playing at the same time. Of America
honestly,
for each team.
Kick it at two Eastern, even.
Kick it at the same time as the SEC title game, because that's usually a blowout.
Yeah.
Move it anywhere else, but preferably late. I want Mountain West. I want, so like every championship Saturday, we get through our, you know, the Big 12 game. All right, ramifications, big shootout, important, you know, and then the SEC thing, whatever, Bama wins. That was kind of important. And then the ACC Big, they have the same schedule every single year, ACC Big 10 doubleheader at the same time. It's important, whatever. And then it ends and, you know, we're in the mode of like, all right, what football are we going to watch till 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Eastern? None. Because the actual fun game ended at the same time as whatever shit the Big Ten was doing. Sorry, football's over.
What if I offer you this instead? I agree with you. Let's move Fresno Boise back to 10. Let's leave the ACC championship at 8. But let's take the Big Ten championship and say, hey, guys, you are the academic conference. You know this. You are the ones who, you know, work the hardest in school, in the classroom, in the community. We get it. You should play on Tuesday. Like, you should get your work done early. Why are you being like everybody else and doing your conference championship game at the last minute? Why not be a good student and turn your paper in on Tuesday? And that way we don't have to watch the Big Ten championship and they think they're special.
Yeah, I think we should move the Pac-12 championship to 3:30 a.m. because that, with the 12-hour time difference, puts it right in prime college football viewing for Beijing. And Shanghai. If, you know what? I just said that out loud. Larry Scott will probably do that.
The Pac-12 network is now only in China. It's geo-blocked everywhere else.
It's just in China and India. We've abandoned America.
You weren't grateful for it, and now it's gone.
Aren't you sorry now?
We've gone galt with the Pac-12 network.
You can't watch Arizona State hockey now, huh?
We've taken it to the Forbidden Kingdom.
We have many competitive track meets, and you will see none of them.
Your director's cup will go unclaimed, sir. Yes,
but Yanwei Wong, a young 7-year-old who will one day be the greatest gymnast in Utah history. He will see this.
Every Oregon State football game gone.
Now give me $8 million a year or whatever he earns. Now just pay me $4 million a year because I played tennis at Harvard.
Also, we need a $4 million office in the middle of San Francisco, the most expensive city on earth.
We need the Forbidden City. That's what we'll do. That'll be $38 million a month. Fine!
Worth it!
Meanwhile, the SEC has a shack in Birmingham. Peasants!
ACC's being run out of a nail parlor in Mobile in 8 years. It's making money hand over fist. Greg Sankey's in the back doing foot massages for side hustle.
I think Al Groh just gave me a pedicure.
And it was great. It's just amazing, the attention to detail and the touch. It was crazy. Well, it was either this or work as a consultant for Nick Saban, and fuck that. I love that. I think the SEC should keep getting cheaper. Like, Greg Sankey makes $2 million a year. Take him to $1 million. They have a like relatively cheap office space in Birmingham. It's got nice marble floors. Screw that. Move it to Conyers, Georgia.
Media days outdoors in a tent.
We'll do it in the church meeting hall. Which one? I don't know. Throw a rock. There's tons of them around here. The one it hits, that's who gets SEC Media Days. We'll issue 15,000 credentials and they'll all come.
Speaking of throwing rocks, employees will be retired lottery, Shirley Jackson style.
It's only fair.
To avoid having to pay medical care costs.
I mean, that is, I think, what was going to happen at Auburn this week.
I think I accidentally just described new media. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. Oh, damn
it. Congratulations to Gus, by the way.
Congratulations to Dusk Shit, man.
Why?
Like,
that's got to be miserable right now. I feel bad for him.
No,
I feel bad for the millionaire. It's fine.
I like this more as like a real passive aggressive move where the boosters came in and they were like, "Well, Gus, this buyout's too high. We're only going to let you stick around if you chop it down a bit." And they're thinking like, "There's no way he's going
to take the fucking buyout." I don't understand this at all.
I like the passive aggressive move where he's just like, "Okay. Fine. No, we'll do what you want. Okay.
I hope he, like, the obvious reason not to leave Auburn this year is that they're the best open job left is what, Maryland? Like, I hope that he goes home at 8 p.m. every night for the rest of this year and the rest of next year. And when they finally cut him loose, he can go take the USC job.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, if you want to know...
Like, I'm serious. I hope he doesn't pull a single all-nighter in this entire next year.
There's a couple of countervailing, like, things that show, like, that coaches can still get screwed and still be put in really bad situations that have very little to do with the football field, right? Like, okay, Gus...
And, I mean, he knew what he was doing when he knew they was snakes when he picked them up.
Like USC is gonna keep Clay Helton, right? But
yes, but none of his friends, all of his friends, but have none to of go. His
right. They're doing the full Tuberville, right? Where mm-hmm. they're like, "Hey, Tommy, you get to stay, but we're going to kill everyone that works for you." And look, you made new friends.
it didn't work. I guess you're the problem now. Ooh, awkward.
When has that ever worked? Like, if you did, like, entertain me this notion. What if the defense at USC stinks next year and they score 4,000 points a game because they hire Cliff Kingsbury as the OC and Clay Helton is sitting there looking like the unnecessary piece?
Cliff Kingsbury, suddenly. Interim head coach.
Cliff Kingsbury, full-time head coach at USC. That's week 7, week 8. Yeah, that's what that looks like. And they just say, well, he can recruit. And out in Texas Tech, he's obviously just working with, like, Lubbock defensive talent, blah, 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 blah. So going back to Lubbock, also now with that head coach opening, because Kingsbury isn't there, now looking for coaches. A legitimate question for anybody seriously considering that job. Yes, it involves Mike Leach in a labor dispute. However, any coach interviewing for that job can say, why won't you short me a year's pay? Because that's what Texas Tech did to Mike Leach. Might be like a half year's pay, but still, you might miss that. And that's something that Texas Tech did to a coach, right? So another legitimate question. Oh, and then to take it all the way back to Auburn, now you've adjusted Gus's buyout so he gets less and postponed his firing for a year, and Gus Malzahn now has to go out and recruit this week based on that. What possible payoff is there for this for Gus Malzahn?
Easy. Gus spends the entire year cheating, turns Auburn into the NCAA on his way out the door to the USC job. Oh, yeah. We're paying him in cocaine. 100%.
I can't think of anybody less suited for the USC job than Gus Malzahn.
Doesn't matter.
Just the... I can. Clay Helton.
You defended him like 2 weeks ago.
Did I?
Yes.
How?
You were basically saying how his record wasn't that bad and how he'd done some good
things. Oh, his record's fine. And this season was hard. Sure. I thought we were just talking about like personalities and all that. Right?
Do you need a personality to coach at USC? I think that's a myth.
I think you need to. Can you think of anybody walking into a room with that goober haircut in LA? Into any room, being like, well, I'd like you to play my high school offense. That shit's not going to fly. It won't. Let me tell you about the time I traded my car for a fax machine in Arkansas. No. Well,
you know, I'm the greatest high school coach in Arkansas history. Where's Arkansas, bro?